Hey there. Welcome to the Alliance for the Future podcast. We're a brand new nonprofit that I co-founded on the single issue of AI. We're here to defend the freedom to develop, to defend open source, and to make sure that we make strategic investments to keep our people and our country free for generations to come. In this episode, I speak with my co-founder, entrepreneur Perry Metzger, about the benefits that AI will bring to your life, the coalition of politicians and special interests allied against us, how this all got started, and what you can do if you want to help us out. If you like the episode, the best thing you can do is to let a friend know, either in person or online. You can also donate in the description below, and we'd also appreciate any retweets. And finally, feel free to get in touch, also in the description below, if you want to know more. Don't be a stranger. And enjoy the Alliance for the Future podcast. Welcome to the show, Perry. Are you optimistic about the future?
I'd say that I'm extremely optimistic about the future. We're living in probably the best time that our civilization has ever had. And it's crazy to me that there are so many people all around us who think it's the worst possible time.
Right. And that's exactly why we're here. We're announcing Alliance for the Future.
Yeah. So for those of you who have not been paying attention, there's been all of this activity in the last year or two around artificial intelligence and all sorts of ways that people are using new artificial intelligence systems, and people spreading fear, uncertainty, and doubt about artificial intelligence systems, and people saying that artificial intelligence systems are going to kill us, and people saying that artificial intelligence systems are going to bring about a really great future for us, which is actually sort of, I think, what Brian and I think. It's been a hell of a lot in the news, and there's been all of this talk among certain people who seem to reflexively want to stop anything interesting or new from happening. So Brian and I are part of a brand new organization that has just spun up called Alliance for the Future. And the reason that Alliance for the Future exists is because not only are there a bunch of people out there who think that artificial intelligence is going to kill all of us, but many of them are trying to take their beliefs and get them turned into legislation around the world in Washington. And it seemed to both Brian and me that this was probably a bad thing and something that was worth opposing. So AFTF is pretty new. We have a staff that currently consists mostly of Brian. Hi, Brian. It's great having you here.
Great to be here.
we don't have a ton of money yet, but we do have a great deal of optimism. The organization is a 501c4, for those of you who are interested in us. You don't get to deduct donations to us from your taxes. We're much like the ACLU or the NRA or a bunch of other organizations that have organized along these lines. The advantage of being a 501c4 is that nothing keeps us from doing political lobbying. 501c3s, which are tax-deductible charities, are strictly limited in the amount of political activism that they can engage in. And we decided to sacrifice our tax deductibility to give ourselves flexibility in how we work in DC. Besides that, we're probably going to sound a lot in the next year or two, unfortunately, a lot like your local public television station, here and there, telling you that that it is your dollars that that keep us alive, even if you can't deduct them from your taxes.
It's very interesting because people who actually work with the technology, I think that there's a very clear order in terms of how easy things are. It's very easy to do nothing, to be a passive consumer of information. It's harder to kind of actively stay on the edge, to be, you know, hyper optimistic as I think I am, and kind of tuned in to all of this and to write about it, so on. And what I think is, you know, really life destroying if you're someone who wants to actually accomplish something is to be extremely pessimistic about it. But the opposite is actually true in politics. the easiest thing to do in politics is to complain about things, to try to ban them. That's always a kind of gut instinct for many people in DC that I think is very disconnected from people, both people who are kind of experts, who are actually using AI products and developing them, but also from people who are just sitting on the sidelines. I think that's what most people are doing right now. You know, most of the public, they don't have necessarily a negative attitude, but they're not going to go out of their way to ban it either. They're kind of neutral on it.
Yeah. So for a long time now, the main voices that have been heard in Washington, D.C. on the subject of artificial intelligence policy have come from people like the effective altruism movement, which spends hundreds of millions of dollars a year. I wish that that was not a real number, that that was kind of a fantasy number or something. But it's wacky that it's that much money. But people out there who spend an incredible amount of money attempting to convince people that artificial intelligence and other related technologies are the worst thing ever and that we have to stop them and pause them. But up until recently, there haven't been a lot of voices in Washington, D.C. for the opposite.
Right. In Silicon Valley, in kind of the broader entrepreneurial landscape, I think EA, effective altruism, is a presence, but it's a sort of side character. You know, there are these things that occasionally pop up involving OpenAI or involving Anthropic and so on, but they're not the dominant ideology. The most people who work in AI, well, they do it because they believe in the technology. They think it'll do great things. In DC, there's always a symptom of fighting the last war, that most people are attached to their old issues. They're not really informed about artificial intelligence. And just the fact that the effective altruists dump, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars at this point into funding old organizations and essentially paying them to take, you know, effective altruists as their kind of staff, that in and of itself, that funding can create a lot of pressure on essentially people who don't have a particular interest right away, right? Who maybe don't even know about artificial intelligence, who maybe have seen a headline or two involving ChatGPT, but little more. Those kinds of people are easily swayed in one direction, but I'm optimistic about this. They could easily be swayed in the other direction with enough of the effort. And yep. The best part about it is that I think for us, reality is actually on our side. So yep. We don't need the same amount of money to do the same thing.
One thing that I've found kind of heartening is that in spite of the fact that the opposition has been spending an enormous amount of money and that political opportunity lies with the people who whip up fear, because if it bleeds, it leads. Fear is a lot of what gets people reading news stories, right? And there's a reason that we find, you know, lots of politicians who enjoy grandstanding about the issue of the week and explaining that they're, you know, that they are going to do something about whatever happens to be in the news this week. And it's because it provides popularity and it provides people with political power. But in spite of that, and in spite of the amount of money that has been spent against AI, so far, things have not gone quite so badly. And it is our hope that by providing a home for people who are interested in fighting doomerism, in fighting people who want to decelerate our society, to cringe in fear of new technologies, that we'll be able to make significant progress. I've been kind of amused by the fact that accelerationism has become such a big thing in such a short period of time. I think that there were a lot of people who were getting sick of the fact that so much political discourse was about how we're all going to die and everything is terrible and technology is terrible and technology is going to hurt all of us. And, you know, I mean, we've never had it better in history. I have a friend who not that long ago, you know, went into remission from stage 4 malignant melanoma. And this was unheard of 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And how did this happen? Because we have all of these immunotherapies that have been developed in recent years that mean that we've had breakthroughs in cancer. We have had breakthroughs in agriculture. We have had breakthroughs in all sorts of important areas. Whatever you think of Elon Musk politically, Tesla is an amazing company. SpaceX is an amazing company. We now have, because of SpaceX, thousands of internet satellites in low Earth orbit, and almost anywhere that you live, even if you're living on a reservation in an isolated place, you can have high-speed internet, you can educate your children. And thanks to AI, we're going to have all of these really amazing new technologies. I mean, things that are showing up these days are just crazy. There's a company that is now selling laser weeding machines for farmers. This is, you know, machines that will roll over your field and will use cameras to see where the weeds are and blast them with a laser. And you don't have to spray pesticides on the field. You don't have to have people going through hand weeding. It's amazing. And it's only possible because of artificial intelligence. There are all of these new drugs that people have just in recent months have found using artificial intelligence search techniques. And there are people that would like us to turn away from an incredibly promising future. And I think that as a reaction to that, we've gotten all of these people out there who have decided that they are sick of it and they would like to have an actual future and a promising future and a happy future. And they're tired of being told that good things are bad and that, you know, people living longer and being happier and having more material wealth and being healthier and having more to eat and all of the rest of this stuff is terrible.
I'm a younger person. I think that many people have seen the game that's sort of played with this pessimism. And sometimes it's played consciously. Sometimes it's just, you know, it's just human bias. It's just human nature. And in each of these circumstances, you know, you can look past throughout history. We saw this, you know, with social media. We saw this with the internet. Our mutual friend Michael Gibson really likes to talk about this with the Catholic Church wanting to control the printing press.
That was one of the previous technologies that everyone got really, really upset about. People will be able to print any book they want, and anyone will be able to read it. And how will you control the flow of information if people have printing presses? It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he makes the analogy to the modern day, but where artificial intelligence or all these other technologies are essentially a suite of technologies that give you superpowers, that, you know, the ordinary person can log on and become their own graphic designer if you're running a small business. Like, I make the graphics for my podcast by myself.
Yeah, I have a blog where I mostly discuss deep technology stuff, and I illustrate my blog posts. And I know there are a lot of artists out there who are, you know, who are thinking in terms of, well, you know, you're taking food out of my mouth because you're not hiring an artist to illustrate. I couldn't have afforded to illustrate the blog without this. I don't have a revenue stream from the blog, and I wouldn't have bothered, but I can illustrate the thing because this powerful technology has come into our hands and produced a new form of abundance.
What you see is that the artists who have a kind of bottom-up vision, who know what they want to create, are now empowered, right? The people who have a very good aesthetic judgment, it doesn't matter whether there's something that can only be done by hand or whether they have additional tools to do it. They're not afraid of the competition. They really believe in themselves and they believe in the mission that they're trying to accomplish. I think that in general, you know, you see this, once again, this kind of world historical pattern of people who are up and coming, people who are aspirational, people who really want to take responsibility for their future, who look at a new technology like artificial intelligence, a technology that gives them and gives also everyone else who seeks it out these kind of superpowers, and they think that that's wonderful.
I think that's the majority of people, certainly the majority of young people. And on the other hand, you know, you get these kind of media narratives that are really disconnected. You get these media narratives where anything that's new is sort of attacked. There's a kind of shift. You can think of it as a shift from kind of geographic chauvinism to like technological chauvinism, right? Almost generational chauvinism. They're afraid of the next generation.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's sort of natural, though. This is something that's happened over and over again in history. I know lots and lots of people who say this time it's different. Artificial intelligence is going to kill all of us. You know, the previous technologies, they didn't kill all of us, but that's because they were different. This time it's very different. It's going to kill all of us. It's going to take all of our jobs. It's going, you know, the AIs are going to be out there controlling everything. I think it's all, you know, it's all crap.
It's also important to understand that the kind of level of reaction here is very different between different groups. There's a hastily assembled coalition that I think, upon deeper investigation, really hates itself. That there's the effective altruists, there's people who are afraid of automation, and then there are people who essentially want to shove it into whatever pre-existing issue that they already had.
Oh yeah, and, or the people out there, the last group is particularly absurd. It's the people who are deathly afraid that an AI might draw a picture that does not have a member of a racial minority in it.
Yeah, you saw this with Google Gemini. Of course, something that people don't know is that in the paper where they talk about implementing all of these, you know, ideological features, all of these biases into their system, they directly attribute the putting together that team to the Biden executive order. So that's an example of kind of policy already making an impact, in this case, in the negative direction.
I mean, it's sort of a coalition of bootleggers and Baptists, to use the term that was used for prohibition, you know, alcohol prohibition in the 1920s, and the groups of people who wanted that. You know, the bootleggers wanted a lucrative business selling people booze, which only existed if it was illegal. And we have some of that sort of stuff, like, you know, showing up in the AI world. And that will be an interesting thing to do a future edition of the podcast on.
Yeah. There's a very clear unifying line with Alliance for the Future and with the people that we stand for, that I think really, really can't be broken. You know, if you're optimistic about the future, if you think that more technology, more investment into the future, into future generations, into technologies that can be used by everyone, if you think that that's good, if that's your kind of foundational principle, you know, you can have any other variety of beliefs. You can be, you know, left wing, right wing, you can be institutionalist, out there for building new institutions. All of these kind of old political lines can be set aside if you just personally want to use AI, are excited for these new features, are excited for these things that will make you more able to chase your dreams.
So Alliance for the Future is, in the near term, going to have a podcast and a blog, and is going to be doing a bunch of political activism, and is going to be, as I said, soliciting donations from you if you think that our work is interesting. And you should watch this space for more information. The future is going to be really bright if we allow it to be. We think that the future is unbounded and extremely bright. And if you agree with us, we'd like you to help us and join us.
Right. The two biggest things you can do right now, affuture.org/donate. It'll also be below.
That's with two Fs.
We've
had a few people who have not quite gotten that. affuture.org.
And it'll also be in the description. And the second thing is just to reach out. Let me know. Chow@affuture.org is where you will find me. You can also comment in the description of this very podcast. And I'm very excited to hear what all of you have to say, for better or for worse.